We're a little bit past the Mishnah, where it says, Hanevad, at the two dots. Okay? Hanevad, a field which was worshipped for Avodah Zarah purposes. So he's Tani, there are those who learn, Bain Shalom, whether it's you worship your own field, or whether you worship somebody else's field, Aser makes the field forbidden. He's Tani, there are those who learn, Shalom Aser, if you worship your own field, it makes it forbidden. Shalachim, but if you worship somebody else's field, it's permissible. Hamboilamemar, they want to say, Manda Amar Ben Shalom Ben Shalachim Osir, he who says that whether it's his field or somebody else's field becomes Osir if it's worshipped, that is Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Manda Amar Shalom Osir, he who holds that his field is Osir, however, Shalachim Mutter, if it's somebody else's field, it's permissible. That's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, who held Eino Dam Mikadesh Dover Shein or Shlo on our Mishnah. A person cannot make Kilayin that which is not his. So too, a person cannot make Osir as a Vodasar that which is not his. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi La. What? Yeah. We just started. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi La said, Tibi Akol. Everybody agrees on this issue, meaning that everybody agrees that there's specific parameters which we follow. What are they? Kamada Tamar Tamar, just so we look by animals. Davar Sheish Baruch Chayim, something which is alive, an animal which is alive, and it's worshipped for Avodah Zarah purposes. Ava Pisha Eino Nasar Lehediot, even though it's not forbidden for a commoner to use as regular food. Nasar Lehediot, it's forbidden to use a carbon because it's disgusting. Now, the Kavasah, so too, Dover Sheino Shelcha, something which is not yours, Avo Pisheino Nasar Lehejot, even though it's not forbidden for a regular person, for a commoner, Nasar Legava, it becomes Osir for use as a carbon. So, or for use in a mincha, whatever the case may be. So the parameters are, you can't ask for something which is connected, you can't ask for something which is not yours, but you can make it objectionable for use as a carbon. Okay? Rishumin Lakish Omer, consider I mayor. In our Mishnah, where it says that if I, according to the opinion, that I can answer my friend's wheat, and if I stick my grapevines over his wheat, so I mayor, only Rabbi Meir finds me to pay for it, because Rabbi Meir is the one who we know is doing Dina de Garmi. There's halacha which said that we have stands that grama the new, what?
Out of the past.
Out of the long past.
Goody but goody. Yeah.
So the halacha which says grama binizak is part that if I cause damage to you, it's so I'm exempt from paying. But garmi is when I don't just cause it indirectly, but rather I directly bring it about. And although this is not a good analogy, but the analogy which I use to define it, it's not halachically correct, but it's a good. Brings the thing issue into focus is that if I open a gate in front of a cow and the cow goes and eats in the field, so that's grumma. If however I slap the cow on the rump and the cow then goes into the field and starts eating it, you know, I direct it, then that's Dina the Gambi. So a much more direct cause.
And you know, forget about the halacha aspect.
Yeah.
Some people incorrectly translate Garmi as being it's not really direct. It's still an indirect. I'm not mistaken. I think it's still an indirect form, just more direct than indirect.
Correct. Right. It's still indirect, but it's more direct than grama.
Right.
Right. I didn't say anything to the contrary.
No.
Right?
No. Direct is you would take the cow and leave it out. Right. That's direct.
That's direct. So here we have the same idea. Here, my placing my vines over your grain, I'm not doing a maisa, right? I'm directly causing the grapevines to grow over your grain. That's Aseret. That's called Dina de Garmi. So according to Meir holds it, that's better than Groma, or I should say more liable than Groma, so it's good, so you're Chayiv. And Rishim Lodi uses that as the Lush of Knas, because Yushalmi here holds that there are many reasons given, if you look in the Tzadik Pita Amos, it goes through them, as to why Dina de Garmi, what the logic of Dina de Garmi is, and why it's separate from Grama bin Izakin. But here the Yushalmi holds just the Knas. The mayor holds, since you did something maliciously negligent, so therefore you're Chayiv as a Knas. So that's what he holds, just a Knas, so fine. So therefore in our mission, he finds if you ask your friend's field, by putting your grapevines over his field. Sometime later in the Gemara, we'll see that Reish Lakish followed the Pasuk of Rabbi Meir. We learn out from here. Hamisakech es gefagafnu. Hagai bitfosu shel chavero. If so, we're on the bottom, I'm going to give him a little base somewhere. Okay. Hamisakech es gafnu. Hagai bitfosu shel chavero. If somebody creates a canopy with his grapevines over his friend's grain, our Mishnah says that you're chayev. Chimasa maisa. What did you do? You didn't do a maisa. Elok shohosiv vidaito mosiv. Rather, that when the grapevines go out over the grain, it's with your intent and you're causing it. That's dina de garmi. Chaybanash. Along these lines, chaybanash chavi salei the Rabbi Lazar. Interesting case. A person was about to receive a coin as change or as a purchase price. So he took the coin, which he was about to give, and showed it to Rabbi Lezer. So he asked Rabbi Lezer, is it a good coin? He says, so Rabbi Lezer said to him, Tabri, it is a good coin. That's the statement. He said, it is a good coin. Later on, it turned out the coin was rejected. It was possible. It was a counterfeit coin. So this mice came from Rabbi Shimon Lakish, the Kansei. And he fined Rabbi Lezer to reimburse the fellow who showed him the coin originally. Minador, why? From the following Mishnah.
This is actually malpractice.
What?
This is really a case of malpractice.
This seems to be malpractice, but not 100% malpractice, because he doesn't seem to have been a professional. So you can get on practicing without a license, but he wasn't necessarily a professional. Professionals do malpractice. He was practicing without a license. So it's not exactly the same thing.
It's worse.
Could be. But in any event, you know, it's not that I think, though, you need a license for, you know, it's not like medicine. So in any event, so says the Gemara, we can't say Rishim and Lakish find him, from the following mission, which says, Amar Adina L'Shulchani, if you show a coin to a money changer, and he says it's good, v'nim tzara, and it's turning out to be bad, chayev l'shalim. In that case, the money lender, the money exchanger, has to pay you back. Why? In here, throws a very interesting principle, they should know say sachar. There were talking about a case where the money changer himself took the money in order to invest or extend as a loan, and so on and so forth. So therefore, since he makes money off his taking your coin, so therefore he's a shomer sachar. Since it's Shomer Socher, he's a paid watchman. Since it's a paid watchman, if anything goes wrong, so then he has to pay for that occurrence. So it's here, if it turns out that because that was possible, so he has to pay for that occurrence. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Lezer knows Ischar. If that's the case, how can Rabbi Lezer have to pay her? Rabbi Lezer never took possession of the coin. It certainly didn't. It wasn't making money off of it. So why is he chayv here? No, he wasn't a shulchani. That's Gemara's kasha. So why is he chayv? So says more. Rabbi Yaakov Barach Hashem Ravuna said, "Hamachzik bo kenosei schar." If you hold on to it, it's as if you're nosei schar. Meaning, he's doing din of the garmi. He says it's as if you directly caused the loss, because you were holding on to the coin and looking at it and saying this coin is okay. So therefore, if you're wrong, that's like doing the end of the gummy.
Yeah, but he was doing him a favor. He wasn't
no say never do favors.
So, he says masabo means if you does literally mean holding it in your hands, or does it mean holding, maintaining possession of it for some passage of time?
I believe the former.
Just holding it in your hand?
Yeah.
That's why I question.
He's not. That's no. Here is kin no seischar. He's like no seischar. Right. That's garmi, a paid watchman. Okay. Why not?
Why? Just because you hold it?
No, but it's not. That's what I'm saying. It's not the holding it. Doctor will explain it to him.
Well, It's kenosis. It doesn't make a difference. What do you
he's
mean?
He's holding it like he's a paid washer.
But he really, the reason why it's chav is not because he's a paid washer, but rather because of what?
Practicing without a license?
No! See, that's the guy me. Because he's causing a loss, because he's giving the guy wrong advice. He's misleading him. He's causing him a loss.
I can understand that. So anybody, it's not just a position overall, but anybody who'd be in this position gives him some bad advice.
Even if somebody's licensed. Yeah. Anybody gives another person bad advice, according to this Gemara, we're dying to the Gemara, we'd sue him for it. Hey, modern Americans, I do that all the time, right?
Torts, not all what?
No? You don't sue people who give you bad advice?
But if they are not experts
in the field, then you have no right to rely on. Oh, well, that probably is a distinction, because it seems that Rabbi Lezer was not an expert. Yeah, we gave him the status of an expert, and therefore we he should have gotten it right, and that's where we're doing dinner with me.
But in modern malpractice law, if you're liable whether you're an expert or not. In fact, you're more liable because you're more culpable. You should have referred the patient on to an expert, to a specialist, rather than practice medicine outside your expertise.
Right, but you're a doctor. For instance, I am a lawyer, actually, in practice. But if I give somebody advice, I can be sued for it because I'm technically they're relying on my source.
You are a lawyer?
I have a license. I have a license for a couple of years.
Talking is not a other than flapping out a lip.
That's why it's doing dinner the Garmi.
Yeah.
That's why it's not a mitzvah. You're right.
Garmi is a
mitzvah. No, it's not. Garmi is directly causing a loss. But it's causing. Oh, because if I put my grapevines over your field, I'm causing you a loss.
That's right.
Okay? Because you're going to lose your field. It's the same idea. Okay? We pass on Dina Doin Dina Garmi. We are Machai people. In this specific case of Rabbi Lezer, I don't know for sure. So in any event, says more further. Rabbi Yossi Rabun Lomar Kane. Rabbi Yossi Rabun said didn't say like this. Rather, El Rabbi Lezer Mar Kansi the Rabbonan. Rabbi says it's a knas of the Rabban. In other words, all rabbis are doing the Karmi. Rabbi Shimon Lakish alone, Omar Katsid Mayor, he's the only one who attributed doing the Karmi to be the exclusive province or mayor. Everybody else held that it's a universal principle.
So, according to this, any incorrect shuba given by a rab to a shayla?
CH44, suing your rabbi for malpractice.
CH44.
Yes. Yeah. Nicole. Yeah. Yeah, she can see rabbi from malpractice. There's a whole Gemara in Sanhedrin. Don't it's a din zikos as chayev chiyev is a zakai. Mashal saw save a shalim ibeso. It's got to make restitution.
But there doesn't depend upon the kind of mistake you
made. He made you get married because of the kids. Yeah. What? Yeah, it does. But the bottom line is that the chiv there is also chiv of doing din of the garmi. In the case of your chayiv there, you didn't actually do a mazik b'yadayim. I mean, the Gemara tries to he put a sheretz on the grain, whatever the case may be. But generally speaking, the understanding that Gemara, the conventional understanding that Gemara is that the Gemara is mechayiv because of doing din of the garmi. That is the underlying chiyuv there. Okay? Says Gemara, kad asa uvd, it should be kad. Not kach. Karas uvta, when this whole miser Rabbi Lezer and the coin came from Rishim and Lakish asked Rabbi Lezer. According to you, who charges for Dina the Garmi? What do you hold? Amarlei, so he said the Rabbanin. I owe the, all the rabbis say, not just Rabbi Meir. Amarlei, so Yishlachi said to Rabbi Elazar, L'shitas cha, that all the rabbis hold of Doin Din Rami, Puk Shalem, you have to go out and pay for the loss you caused because you are a classic case of Doin Din Rami. Am Rabbi Yochum Rebuchan said, Hakol Modi Meir, but can see the point, Banovim, by grapes, Shein Asuro. So this is the cases like this. I put my grapevines over your field, your grain field. Everybody agrees that although my grapevines don't ask your wheat field, or at least that's the machlokas, everybody agrees that your wheat field will ask for my grapes. Okay, because I put them there. It says more Amalei Rabbi Lezer, but Lezer said no. Her oser eino nesa, that which caused this or is, did not become forbidden. Vishenu osero, nesa, you want that which should just be supposed to be cut. That which does not cause this, it rather becomes also. You want that to become Nasar, to become prohibited? This is a very cryptic Gemara, but it's a fascinating explanation. The Stipuson brings Rias, that it's the grain coming into contact with the grapes that cause Kilayim and not vice versa. The grain causes grapes to become ulcer, and it itself. It's not that the grapes cause the grain to become ulcer in itself. Okay? He brings out a pasuk. Where it says, Lo tizra karmacha kilayim pentita shamlea zera asher tizra utvua sakerem. The seed which answers the Tvuah Sakerem, that's way down to the pasuk.
So the Oser being the grain is Eino Nesar, it's not the Kino Nesar, which Eino Oser.
Nesar? It's a bitmiyah, it's a rhetorical question. So it's saying, that, again, as you pointed out, Oser, the grain, which is the catalyst of Isser, in this case Eino Nesar, does not become Oser because somebody else's grain, which Eino Oser. The leaves of the grapevine, which normally does not create this, and this comes to the other direction. Nasar, you want that to become ulcer? So therefore, according to Rabbi Lezer, the grapevines do not become ulcer in this case. According to Rabbi Yochanan, they do. According to Rabbi Lezer, they don't. Speak directly above or directly below. That's what the case of toy about here. There are where you put your grapevine over into your friend's wheat field, so it's directly above. Right. Okay? Says Mara, Mapla pligin, what are we talking? What is the argument concerning? When Sakik is Gafno Agabi Tvosu Shokabero, when you put your grapevine over your friend's grape. So, what if I put my friend's grapevine over his grape? Good practical joke, right? Ah, Ruvain, shucks! I just put your grapevines over your grain by accident. So in that case, it's too bad. It does become kilayim. Ain't the most darvashena shalom, but here it's both shalom, so that's okay. I can use my stuff to make your stuff awesome, right? I can use your stuff to make your stuff awesome. That's what it says. Right, all sorts of right, that's right. But that's what we don't teach most people, kilayim. Kilayim. So they don't play back to a joke.
Or just being mean. I mean, that's
right.
A joke.
Right. Okay, so again, this individual who planted his vineyard during Shemitah with grain. Person cannot consecrate that which is in his tree, Shemitah, and other trees are his. So it says, Gemara, Ein HaGefen Shalom, Ve'Natvur Shalom. In this case, we say the vineyard, the vines are not his, and the grain is not his either, and therefore he can't aser it. Right, that's right. And the same thing would apply over here. That wouldn't be. How we extrapolate from this?
If he wanted to, he could have done it at that moment. That's the difference. He could have done it at that moment. Mahani Mashiach, because she is trying to deny, she needs to love her own. She
needs to be let me go back three lines. You put his vines over his grain. Oh, his vines over his grain. You know, I realize I made a mistake now. I skipped something. Let me go back a line before that. Also, if I put my friend's grapevine over my field, then it asks my field. Okay, because then I'm using his grapevines in order to create an issur by me. I can do that. That works. Okay? So I'm Gifano Shokaber, I take his grapevines, Agabit Vosso, on my grain, Hare Elu. In those cases, everybody agrees in that case that the grain becomes osir. That which is normally caused this, in this case, becomes osir. Now we have that other case. Somebody who puts his friend's vineyard over his friend's grain. The Shemini Adults are in this case. Rabbi Yosef Maisa Be'abodim Shazar as Karmish V'is. Maisa, an individual planted his field during Shemitah. Well, Maisa Merekim, Maisa came for Ekiva Mar, Eno the Makdish Lover Shaino Shalom. Person cannot consecrate that which is not his. Right? Hare Ein Hagefen Shalom Vein Atvua Shalom. Where the Geffen is not his because it's Shemitah and the grain is not his, so in that case it's okay. And there's a refutation. In other words, we see that still confused.
In the Shemitah case, it's nobody's. In the other case,
yes, so Gemara Olta Chiluk is not Mechalik. Gemara Olta Chiluk of in the Shemitah case, it belongs to nobody. Here it belongs to somebody else, not Mechalik. Just like by Shemitah, if I plant Shemitah stuff in a Shemitah with other Shemitah stuff and it conflicts, I can't answer it because Einu the Moshe Davar Shein Shalom, because during Shemitah the field is not mine. So too, by taking my friend's grapes and make a canopy with them over another guy's over his own grain field, I can't answer them because they're not mine under my jurisdiction to answer.
So you can't
answer
your friends. I might say before that we could also.
You're being right that you can't. In the case of Shemitah, you can never ask your friends. We said your friends can ask for you. And here we're saying that you can't ask your friends. And that's what we're saying in this case.
So I'll give it to you then, but it'll take effect now, so that way I can't back out.
What do you mean?
One practical joke was that you took his vine and his grain.
That's right, you can't, because I messed up that line before. That's the line I messed and missed up, and that's why it's confusing. Okay? Says Mishnah further. So in any event, so it ends where Harela Gemet Shalom Venatvua Shalom. Harela Gemet Shalom Venatvua Shalom. In this case, where neither the grapevine is his, nor the grain is, bitosaft, and we said that you can't create kelaim, so too by us as well. Her anas. Somebody who steals yards. Or a real estate thief. Shazar is a care. He planted a vineyard and then planted wheat in the vineyard. V'yotzamil fonav, and now the bandit went away. He abandoned the field because it was no good. Kotzra afilu b'moed. You can harvest it even in chol hamoed in order to prevent further deterioration and further problems. Arkam. Now, but the thing is, what happens if you don't harvest it during chol hamoed? Or then you would lose all claim to it. Well, not even lose claim to it. It'll become, I'm not making this case clear. Let me start again from the Mishnah. You have a bandit who planted the kerem, v'yotzamil fonav, and left it now. You got to harvest it whenever you get it back, even if it's mil chol hamoed, in order not to allow kilayim to take place. Because after all, he planted grain in your kerem. So in order to prevent kilayim, you have to immediately dig it up, even if it's chol hamoed. Puts the Gemara in a caveat. Says the Gemara, at kamunos the poli, how much you have to pay workers above and beyond what they normally make in order to get them to work on weekends and take down this, this kilayim kerem situation. Says the Gemara, at shlish, a third more. Yosemikan, if it's more than a third more, which the workers are demanding, so then, kotzer kedarko, then you harvest as quickly as you can individually. Vaholech afilu achol hamoed, and you can start on chol hamoed and continue even after chol hamoed. Meimasai nikra anas. When, however, is a person called an anas? Meaning, if a person stole a field, but the incident is forgotten long enough, so then a person reachieves respectability. When does he re-achieve respectability? When he loses his name. Yishakar, when he loses his name. When he loses his, reputation as a thief. Right. Exactly. Statute of limitations. Okay? So when people stop calling him a thief, they call him... They call him real estate magnate. At that time, he's already considered to be. That time, it's considered to be his, and he now becomes the owner vis-a-vis the Isser of Kilayim. Okay. Rabbi Bo Bar Yaakov, B'shem Rabbi Yonon said, "Kini Mas Nisan." This is what the Mishnah says: "Mutar l'kotzer afilu b'moed." You can even harvest chol hamoed if it's in order to prevent kilayim from taking effect. A common point, wherever that's only if you don't get gouged by the workers. How much is the maximum you have to give to the workers in this condition? Ad shlish. So only a third more. What's a third more of what? Winner of Rav Sheshes Chadamar once said, Chad, shlish is chad, only if you had to give them up to 33% more in their salaries for that work. You give them a third of the value of the entire field, which is a lot more, probably. You have to give them that much. From when his name is forgotten, Rabbi Yagar Bacha said, if the original owners are forgotten, but yet they have not yet ever given hope of getting back their fields, then the status of this is that it's just a device, in other words, that there's mamish tevil here, there's mamish stuff which is not properly tied, because he didn't have the right to tie it, it wasn't his, right? Lo nishtaku habalim. If the Bailin gave up hope of ever getting it back, or their name is still associated with the object, so then it's from Midivrayim. Neither writes the Tharos and Soyasar Rabbanon. The Yesh Karka Nigzal asks the Gemara, is there any way, where do we ever find that stolen land that belongs to new owner? Stolen land still belongs to original owner. Because not something which comes under your explicit jurisdiction that you're going to have full ownership of it. The truth is, even though land cannot be stolen, here the guy gives up hope of ever getting back his field. So since guy gives up hope of ever giving back his field, so in this case we say that no. Well, yes, he does lose it. In this case, Yeush works. In other words, if there are very few images on which one to concentrate, for instance, how should we put this?
So what happens if the Abbas leaves and they'd already made Yeush? So is it Hefker?
What?
The Abbas left. The Baal and the original Baal already made Yeush.
Yeah.
So what happens? Is it Hefker now?
Yeah, it's going to be Hefker according to this. So again, let me do that over again. Om Rabbi Lo, Avo Pishen Karka Nigzal. Even though land cannot be stolen, Yeush, there's the point at which Yeush works. In other words, it's like kind of like this, like relinquishing ownership. Even if the first guy doesn't actually, even the second guy doesn't actually acquire it in the classic way, but since the first guy relinquished ownership, and the second guy was there, so therefore goes and reverts the ownership of the second guy. Kind of like I would say if... well, yeah, no. If Coca-Cola went bankrupt, right, and Pepsi took over all its assets. So then it would all be called Pepsi, right? I mean, come on, it should never happen, right? But then it's all called Pepsi. What? Right. So that would all be called Pepsi, right? Was there ever any hakna? Did Coca-Cola ever makna it? It's not a great analogy, but Coca-Cola ever makna it? No, not necessarily. Pepsi just came in and take all the assets, right? It comes theirs. So to here, there's no such thing. Again, it's not a great analogy, but there's no theft by karka. Theft is not a form of acquisition. By metafthin, there's a form of acquisition called theft. The parameters in which theft gives you ownership, like it or not. By land, there is no such thing. But once de facto it's been taken over by somebody else, and it's nishtakeh shame bailam is showing the first owners are forgotten, that de facto now belongs to the second guy. And the same thing is true with the anas. Even though there's no way in which his theft can acquire it for him, by definition, after some time has elapsed and it's in his jurisdiction, okay, and he can then sell it and whatever the case may be. So it's like kind of like the Chavez, the lost Nazi art from the Second World War. You know, the same idea that maybe after it's been missing for so many years, there's a kind of statute of limitations, and the original owner can no longer claim ownership. So the same thing applies to the Anas over here. What? To his advantage, obviously. And once he's had it for enough time, so the original owner can no longer claim ownership. Am I myself clear? Okay. What? That's true. Yeah.
You have something like that in the Second World War.
Okay. Yeah.
It's called a hostile You are taking possession of somebody else's property openly in a hostile fashion, and you're there for a period of time, I think it's 7 years, and no objection is made by the other party.
That's like Chazakas. Yeah, the same idea, right? Okay. So from that, again, from the time that the Anas, from the time the original owner's name is forgotten and the Anas is taken over, it becomes the Anas's. And the Anas has progress, which is really an amazing thing, but that's what the Gemara says here. Okay, Ruach. Next Mishnah, if you have there's an area in which the wind is constantly causing the grapevines to go out over the grain, yigdor miyad, you have to make a fence immediately to make sure it no longer happens. V'imiro ones, if some unforeseen event keeps you from doing it immediately, so that mutter, then you can wait somewhat longer. If you have grain which is inclining underneath a grapevine, chaim b'yerek, and so too if you have vegetables which are inclining underneath the grapevine, machzir v'ena makadish. So when you see it, you can turn it back, and it's not going to be makadish automatically. For when can grain become kilayim? Mishatashlish, when it achieves a third of its growth. But novim and grapes, mishasku 11, when they become the size of small legumes. Tzvua shiyavshel kol tzarka, if you have grain which is completely dried, it's completely mature. Vanovim shabish lukor tzarka, and wine which is completely, grapes which are completely mature, so then there's no kilayim karen. Enam is kachos, because it would be something where already they where they still have some what
growing to do,
because the parameter is 1/200th more of growth in the presence. In other words, if a pear, if an apple grows 1/200th of its growth in the presence of a grain, so then it answers.
Is there a possible scenario where you'd have mature ripe grapes and mature ripe wheat?
Which would make a lime?
That doesn't make a lime now, but how could you have gotten to that point? And how to have been together to begin with?
Excuse me, that's a separate issue. But right now, this kind of issue, this kind of scenario, we're not looking at the antecedents.
Yeah, but there's no way of...
Right, there's no clear way of knowing it all the time. That's because he didn't know.
I'm missing something very fundamental.
Yerek and Grant, Yerek and Karen, there is. Yeah. No. Only with graphic, right. Graphic. Just like grain and vineyards, right. Only fruit trees, right. The Tosafot and the Rabbanan are not fruit trees too, we saw at the beginning here. Okay. Ask Gemara. Like Ben Azai, just cut, instead of putting up a fence, cut off where it's swaying into the wheat field. Ashkech Tani Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yachzir, because we found right, says Akiva says you turn it back and build a fence. Rabbi Akiva, yeah, Ben Azai says just cut it off there. All right, so in a chanami, like Ben Azai, we cut it off, not turn it back. Memasai miskadeshes. From when can it become maser? Mishatash is when the third grown. Each tani, there's another time which say mishatash is once it takes root, which is much earlier. Ma the tani here that gives is messed up. Ready? Ma the tani mashrish. You said in a moment when it takes root, the ready can become maser b'kilayim. The sale Rabbi Yochanan, that's what Rabbi Yochanan said in the previous perek. That that you're not allowed to have any type of grasses. Even grass is already. He had a case like that. He said, if it's grass, turn it over. If it stalks already, then remove the root kernels from the stalks. If it's kernels, it becomes also. So there we see that even if it's grass, you got to overturn the grass growing, the grass of grain growing in the vineyard, because it's going to become also. So that's Rabbi Yochanan saying here as well, right? Rabbi Yochanan is saying here that, according to this opinion, we should tashmish. That the moment that it takes root as kilayim, that's already permission sufficient to forbid it. Okay? So again, mandatani misha tashrish, that has to already be severed on kilayim at the time of birth. We say Rabbi Yochanan, that's Rabbi Yochanan, so it was very stringent on this parameter. However, manda mara misha tashrish, who says it only becomes kilayim once it grows a third of its growth. So according to him, Misael Rabbi Yeshua, that's what Rabbi Yeshua said way back when, the same case Rabbi Yeshua was discussing before, that in a case where you have grass of grain, which is growing in a vineyard, so then you can, it doesn't aser it, because there needs fruit in order to actually make it aser. Okay? So if there is no iser, so then that, if there's no iser, no physical iser, of there's no manifestation of the development of the fruit yet, it's not, can't yet become aser and kilayim until it's a fully third grown. That's like I said previously, that if you have foreign grasses of grain growing in your vineyard, then they don't become ulcer yet, because they only become ulcer once the fruit or the kernels enter where they're supposed to be lodged. Okay? We said in the Mishnah that that grapes, once it becomes a small legume, are... that's when it can become key line, once it reaches that level of maturity. So it says more Khinabrader the Rebbe Hillel, the Chassid, it says Tavuas Hakerim. Any produce of the kerem, including even the youngest produce. Kinimas Nisin, however you should learn to understand the Mishnah, this way to read the Mishnah, Ena Miskachos. When the Mishnah says that the dried wheat grain or the is not metame, it's not that it's not metame, it's that it doesn't become kilayim. Generated by a growth of 1 to 100 together in tandem, right? So here it's not growing anymore, it's fully mature. So it says, well, you know what? It's true, enemies got chosen. That means they cannot become key lime, but they can make others key lime. If you take this vineyard, we have dried, you know, it's fully mature grapevines, and make an awning with it over your grain patch, so then the grain becomes us, because the grain goes 1 to 100 of its growth in the presence of a vineyard. Am I making myself clear?
Everything's right.
Yeah.
Grapes are right, and the...
No, that's the catch. If that was the case, neither would become ulcer. You're talking where the grapes are ripe, but the grain is not ripe, right? And as the wheat grows in the presence of the grapes, even though grapes are not growing, the wheat becomes ulcer.
In a scenario where everything is ripe,
yeah,
I would think that would be the ultimate Mara Sion. Because everyone looks at
saying... It would. It's ulcer, but it's not Mekadosh. Because you can pop the grapes in your mouth as you take them away because of the marasign involved. That's what it means. Okay, now let's leave it like that, but it's doesn't make us about no. You have a perforated pot full of grain, and you pass it through a vineyard, Mekadosh Bekirim. The Shein HaNokuv, it's not a perforated pot, ain't a Mekadosh, it doesn't make it Kili HaKerem. Rav Shimon Omer, because it's a separate entity. Rav Shimon Omer, Zev Zeh Asurim V'lo Mekadosh, in both these cases, it makes it Osir, but not Kadosh. Because he holds even a perforated pot is not really considered to be connected to the ground. Amavi Rotzi Tznokuv B'Kerem, if you pass your perforated pot through the vineyard, according to Tanakama, you must even assign before passing by through. It grows 1 to 100 of its total growth, then it's ulcer. All of the shots, getting wherever it applies, is going to say the same thing. That's right. Okay, Tani, we learned Eimei Notitz L'Sheino. We have a kasha. Tani, we learned the Brisa Eimei Notitz Nokul V'Notitz Sheino Nokul. No difference between a planter which has a perforation or a dozen. El Echshes Roim Bivad. Only that which grows in a perforated pot requires hechsher. Well, hechsher doesn't work on it because it's considered to be to a certain extent as if it's still connected to the ground. And can be mushul kabel tuma, only if it's severed from the ground can be mushul kabel tuma. And that's the only difference between otzitz nakuv sheino nakuv. Says more Rabbi Shimon. That's like Rabbi Shimon. That's the only difference. Begam kerabona. Now we're like the rabbis. Is charoni. There are other differences, such as. If you have a perforated pot, it makes the kerem forbidden. If it doesn't have perforation, it doesn't make the kerem forbidden. Hatolish mehel tzedok, if you uproot something from a perforated pot on Shabbos, chayev. What are you chayev? Death, right? Because it's going to be mechubel karka. Mishayno enok if you uproot it from a pot which is not perforated, then parts of your exempt. Otzi tznokuv, eno machshir, that's right. Finally, this case which Gemara just mentioned, otzi tznokuv, a perforated pot. Oh, I forgot what this means. No, this is really what we just said. It works. Atitznakuv eno machshiris azroyim means that if something is growing in a perforated pot, so even if you pour water on it, it's not mukshel kabel tuma. It's still mechubar to the ground. Whereas v'sheinu nakuv, if it's not perforated, machshir zaroyim, if water falls and it's severed from the ground, it's machshir zaroyim, whatever's in it being makabel to him. Rabbi Yosef Omer last time, Rabbi Yosef just said it without giving a reason for it. Rabbi Chanina Mati Bava Shem Rosh Hashanah Yitzchak, he brought a drasha named Rosh Hashanah Rabbi Yitzchak. Hatoyah Chivsa Tara B'Israel, the Torah was extra special in granting special degrees of Tara to seeds. Mat, how much the pasuk teaches us? That if the dead carcasses of animals fall on any zera, which is still planted in the least bit way, it's still torah. It's not mushul kabel tuma. What's a zera which is planted in the least bit possible way? It's in a perforated pot. It's not mukabel tuma. Says Gemara. Tani, we learned. Atit shenu nakuf. If you have a non-perforated pot, Masroisa me'aloch, giving Masroisa, it is only mid-rabbanan. Uchumasim damas, and if true from that pot falls in somewhere else, it doesn't create meduma, because it's not bonafide truma. It's not bonafide miser, because it's a non-perforated pot. It's not connected to the ground. It's not chai mitzvah luyos, but oret. It's not part of the oret. So as the Gemara, if you eat it's true, you're not chayv a chomish. I have to pay the 50 extra fine. Rabbi Yossi, boy, Rabbi Yossi asked if that's the case. Can you say on the bread made from hydroponic grain, sweet paskin, yeah. As long as there's dirt in there. But hydroponics is not a shayla because there's no. It's not. It's not a doma. It's water, right? So there's a shiloh. It's not clear what you do in hydroponics. I think the minigram is to make the bracha that you make even if you weren't in that locality. Okay? Rabbi Yonah, boy, Rabbi Yonah asked. Cain, not, it should be not a cain. The last. Kitolashu,
I'm not going to get it anyway.
So if you want to get
Where are you planting it? You planted a gourd tree. Oh, I remember now. Boy, not that last kitoshu sachikwa. In order to make schach has to be served from the ground. What if you have gourd trees, not the gourds themselves, they're not germane. Could be barren trees too. But if you have trees growing out of an otzitz shein or nakuf, can you use it for your sukkah schach or not? Is it considered tolish? That's the shiloh. Otzitz shein or nakuf is considered tolish or not? Yeah. Huh?
It sounds like it's not connected to the
ground. And it should not be it.
which means it's okay for Sack.
I mean, it should be okay for Sack, right. Laura doesn't answer, though. Doesn't give any answer. No. I think it was probably, well, I don't think it is good because of technicality. We'll see. Rabbi Yossi Bar Posi, boy, not he asked a question, not the Chamesh Kufonim, Chamesh Hatzitzim. You planted 5 grapevines in 5 different pots. In this case, Shein and Akuvim, even if they're not perforated, do you have the word Shein and Akuvim? I have them in parentheses. But it's correct. Shein and Akuvim, even if they're not perforated, well, so Steinken and Stein, when he put them in the proper formation for a carom, 2 over the neck, opposite 2 vachas here to his own, and 1 coming out of the tail, I turn my carom. You say it's a carom. So what is he clearly here? That even in an Oti Shein and Akuvim, by a tree, it's considered to be as if it's perforated. You know why? Why by a tree is it considered perforated? That's a Yushalmi, but the Babli says the leaves stick over the side. He says differently. Yushalmi, because eventually the base is going to explode. The roots of the plant are going to burst out. So therefore, it's considered as if it's a rei nakuv, even though it's not yet a rei nakuv. It's nakuv in theory, if not in practice. Okay? Okay? Says Mar, wait a minute. How can this be? V'yesh kerem etalto? So that means that you can have a case of a kerem which you can stick in various different places. Oh, today I'll put the 5 like this. Today I'll put the 5 like this. Today I'll put the 5 like this. Are they all different kramim? And each day I ask a different grain? It's a very difficult concept. But the Gemara doesn't answer. The Gemara just remains with the kasha. Shmuel says, where are you passing this pot of plant under each and every grapevine? Rabbi Yehuda said, it's over the grapevine at the height of 10 tefachim. Heavier chamisha tzitzim, if you pass 5 full jugs.
He's got an obligation now.
Yeah, it should be heavy chamisha tzitzim nekuvim. You passed 5 perforated pots, tachas agefinachas, underneath 1 tree, under 1 grapevine, to fluke the Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yochanan. It's a machlokas Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yochanan. Why is that in this case? So, the case is like this. You have a grapevine. You're under this grapevine, you're passing 5 times grain. Each time you pass one of the good things of grain, it grew 1/1,000. At the end of the 5 things of grain, the grapevine has grown 1/200. 5/1,000, which is 1/200. So now the grape, what's the status? The individual parts of grain can't become mustard because none of them grew 1/200. Each one grew 1,000. What about the tree itself? The tree itself grew 1/200 when it was in contact with various different plants of grain. So can that be enough to ask for the grapevine? Am I making myself clear?
Okay.
One tree. Here's the grapevine. You pass one pot. 2 pot, 3 pot, 4 pot, 5 pot. Right, grows in this, the grapevine grows in this year. But each one of these, since they're 5 pots, are only growing 1/1,000. So the grain can't become osur. Can the grapevine become osur? So it's going to be same as Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar before, where that which causes the isur, the grain, doesn't become osur, can still ask for the other thing or not. Okay, that's that machlokas. And the more brings it down. Tifluk the Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yochan. Hoser ain't on Esar. Vishain Hoser Nesar. Kun Rabbi Yochan. The grain doesn't become Osir because each one only goes to 1,000. The grapes are going to become Osir. But according to Rabbi Lezer, yes, of course they will. Because Rabbi Lezer does recognize that distinction. What about the opposite though? You passed one pot of grain under five different grapevines. So none of the grapevines are awesome, but what about the pot, which is now grew 1/200, always constantly in the presence of grapevines? So this Gemara says, everybody agrees that the grain is also. Why is the grain also according to everybody in this case? Obviously, because the grain is the oser, right? And the grain itself, therefore, is not contingent on anything else becoming oser. In and of itself becomes oser, and that's sufficient. The grain is also, that's right. That's the way to explain the solution. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We finished the parak. The plan is to finish the Masechta the next Thursday. At the start, the following Monday, Shvi'is, to try and attract as many people who are just learning probably right now.